Krishna has elaborately talked about karma yoga for a sadhaka from various angles. That's what we saw up to until the last class. From niyatam, the duty angle, he spoke karma should be performed as a duty. Then as an yajna, as an offer of worship. Then as a yoga, karma yoga. And as from the angle of dharma, for following swadharma, for a person to follow his own karma or dharma. So from different angles, he established the need for doing karma. You cannot be doing without karma. You should be doing karma all the time. Then he made a small diversion and he pointed out that even if you are already a Siddha Purushaha, for an Ajnani, okay, you keep on doing karma. But even if you are a Siddha Purusha, even if you do not require karma yoga for purity or knowledge, even if you are already pure, still you have to continue to do karma, not as karma yoga, but as loka sangraha. So we saw this elaborately earlier. The only difference is what? When you do karma for the sake of loka sangraha, for the sake of the upliftment of the entire world, you do not have the kartrutva buddhi, the ahankara at all. So when you do it as service for the entire community, for the entire world, then there is no kartrutva buddhi, there is no ahankara at all. So Arjuna, whatever be your status, whether you are a Siddha Purusha or whether you are an Ajnani, it doesn't matter, whether you are a Sadhaka or a Siddha Purusha, may you take to doing karma. May you be in the field of action. Do not run away from action. Then in the 30th shloka which we just read, Krishna is concluding the topic of karma yoga. That's what he is doing. Loka sangraha was concluded in the previous shloka. In the previous shloka 29, loka sangraha was concluded. And in the 30th shloka, Krishna comes to karma yoga once again and gives the very essence of karma yoga. This shloka explains what karma yoga in a nutshell. So Krishna emphasizes 5 points here in this shloka, which make any action, whatever may be the action you do, if these 5 points are kept track of, then that action becomes not mere an action, it becomes karma yoga. So what are the various points he gave? First point is Adhyatma Chetas. Adhyatma Chetas is the first point. Actually, Adi Shankaracharya, he translates Adhyatma Chetas to Viveka Buddhi. The ability to discriminate. It is a spiritual mind. It's a mind which is not just an action-oriented mind. This is a spiritual mind. That is the first condition or the criterion for karma yoga is what? One should be clear whether material property is what I want or whether I want spiritual prosperity. If I want material prosperity, that is called prayas. The options are available for anyone who is born in this world. You can pursue the prayo marga, material benefits. Or you can go through Shreya Marga, the spiritual benefits. Both are available for anybody. So for a person to become a karma yogi, the person first should ask oneself, what is my goal? Whether I want to pursue the material well-being or whether I want to pursue the spiritual well-being. Shreyas or prayas. Prayas is material well-being. So by Viveka Buddhi, I mean what? That throughout my life, it is clear for me that my goal in life is spiritual only. Material benefits may come. I may need them for a comfortable living. That's all fine. But my ultimate goal is not that. My ultimate goal is spiritual upliftment. Moksha only is my ultimate goal. That is the conviction a person should have. I consider all other material gains as only intermediary goals, not the ultimate goal. So between material gain and spiritual gain, I value spiritual gain only more. And so ultimately, if necessary, I am ready to give up even all my material well-being, I am ready to give them up. Because my ultimate goal is spiritual well-being, for the sake of spiritual gain, I am willing to give up even all my material gains. That kind of conviction should be there in the mind. So this attitude, where spiritual growth alone becomes more important than material achievement, that is called Viveka Buddhi. So when we were actually born, as I told, we got both the choices, whether it is material being or spiritual being. We have the choice and we have to make the conscious decision what we want to pursue. But Adhyatma Chetaka, the one who has got the spiritual mind, he will choose this. He will choose the spiritual well-being only over material well-being. So once this attitude is gained, then any action that I do, or for what? For my internal growth, irrespective of the material result of the action. I may do so many actions, it may give so many material results, but I am not interested in any of them, I am only interested in my internal growth. So even if the action itself is a failure, sometimes the action may lead to failure, we do not know. If I go after spiritual growth, then I think even that failure has taught me something. So I have nothing to lose all the time, I always have only gain, because even that failure has taught something in my life. So from that point of view, it is not a failure, it is only a success. So that is how the attitude should be. So the whole world may say that somebody lost in business. The whole world may say, he became a pauper. He lost this, he lost that, all that they can say. So in the eye of the world, I may be a failure. Does not matter. But when I look upon myself, I learned a lot of lessons. That's what I should think. I got a little bit more vairagya, this passion. This all put me so much of learning in my process. I gained the patience. I knew how to deal with people. I can understand things as they were. All those things I gained, I have grown inwardly. That means what? I consider this as a success. So that is how one should look at life. So developing this attitude is called adhyatma chetaha. Okay, that is the first condition. So having developed this attitude, the next condition, next point is what? Yudhyasva. Yudhyasva. Krishna tells Arjuna, yudhyasva. Once I am prepared for this internal growth, this spiritual growth, then I continue to do my action without any anxiety, without any tension. Because I have accepted. Whatever may be the result, I have something to gain. My learning is more. So I am doing it without any tension. That is called Vigata Jwaraha. Jwaraha means fever. Normally Jwaraha means fever. Here Krishna is referring to what fever? Mental fever. It's a mental fever, which is nothing but what? It's anxiety, tension, worry, restlessness. All these things are all mental fevers. So this is Vigata Jwaraha. And Vigata Jwaraha means Vigataha Jwaraha Yasmat. Having completely given up this tension about this failure, you enter into the field of activity, be engaged in action without any such tension at all. So with a clear knowledge that materially this action may succeed or may not succeed, I am aware of it right from the time of my doing that action. It may fail or it may succeed, which depends on so many factors. I can never guarantee material success. Can anybody guarantee material success? Nobody can guarantee. Because karmani eva adhikaraka te. You have right only to do action. Mahapaleshu. Krishna has established it earlier in the second chapter. So how do I know that this undertaking is going to be materially successful or not? It can utterly fail. Because I may do any action, it may not go to success at all, it may fail. So even though I am not sure about the material success of my action, I am sure of one thing. What? This action is going to purify my mind. That I am sure. Because I am doing it for what sake? For my internal purity. So that is the conviction I will have. So my success, material success becomes what? A byproduct. It is not the goal, it is not the end in itself. It becomes a byproduct only. And therefore, vikata jwaraha, without worrying about the material gain or loss, you keep on doing action. Spiritual gain is guaranteed. Material gain is not guaranteed, but spiritual gain is guaranteed in all this attitude. So there cannot be a spiritual failure at all. Why? Neha vikramana astosti pratyavayo na vidyate. We already have seen that earlier. There is no action which can spiritually fail if you have the proper attitude. If you do the action with the proper attitude, it can never lead to a spiritual failure. Material failure may be there. Spiritual failure will not. But materially, it can be either way. It can be failure or success. Therefore, without bothering about the material end, may you fight, O Arjuna, Yudhyasva. May you fight. In the case of all of us, what? It is following the respective Sudharma. In case of Arjuna, it is in the battlefield. Krishna asks him to fight. In all our cases, our fight is day-to-day life. So keep engaged in action all the time without worrying about the result. Any result will bring you internally, you will be elevated. You will gain something or the other from that. So fight means here swadharmam kuru. And this is the second stage. So first stage is Viveka Buddhi. And second stage is tensionless action. Restlessness is not there. So no worry at all, that kind of action. Then what is the third stage? When you do the action, how should you do that? Ishvara Arpana Buddhaya Kuru. Mayi sarvani karmani sannyasya. That's what Krishna said. As was told earlier, here sannyasa does not mean renunciation. Krishna, we already explained it at that time. But it means what? Offering it as an arpanam to the Lord. Whatever action I do, let me offer it to the Lord. That is arpanam. So all your actions, you dedicate it at my feet. That's what the Lord says. Mayi stands here for Ishvara. So Ishvara arpana buddhaya. So with that attitude of offering to the Lord, so or that it can be any Ishta Devata. You know, somebody Ishta Devata may be Venkateshwara, Ganapati, it doesn't matter. Whatever action you do that action as an offering to your Ishta Devata. Because what we should remember, a Karma Yogi does not know Nirgunam Brahman yet. A Karma Yogi is not a Jnani. He is still an Ajnani only. He only knows Sagunam Brahma. So he only knows this Ganapati and all this Durga, all these deities only he knows. So whatever action you do it as an offering to your Ishta Devata, does not matter. So as far as Ishvara is concerned, that person does not know Ishvara's true nature. A Karma Yogi does not still know the Ishvara's true nature, and therefore in whatever form the person could visualize, can be Rama, Krishna, Durga, doesn't matter, offer it to that Lord. So only the basic knowledge should be what? Is there is an Ishvara who is Karma Adhyaksha, Karma Paladata, that knowledge he should have. There is an Ishvara, that Ishvara is the Lord of all karmas, that Ishvara is the one who is going to dispense the actual results, the karma palam of every action that I do, he is going to give without any bias, he is going to distribute the karma palam. So just have that faith and offer it to the Lord. And I am offering all these actions only to Ishvara. That means what? My actions become an yajna. That's what we said earlier. All my actions, convert your actions to an yajna. How do you do that? By offering to the Lord. Any action you do, offer it to the Lord. So the third stage is what? Ishvara Arpana. So Viveka Buddhi, first one. Second one is? As, and then here it's called, it is Ishvara Arpana. Yudhyasvara, do your action, Ishvara Arpana. And the fourth stage is Nirashi. Very important. Nirashi. Without concern for the result. You do your action without concern for the result. No expectation whatsoever. You bring up your child, it is your duty. Don't bring up the child because this child is going to support you when you are old. No. Nirashi. It's your duty to do that. So, Nirgataha, Ashishaha, Yasmat, Saha, Nirashi. So, Picharon Krishna called earlier as what? Sangam. Tyaktva Dhananjaya. Any association with the result. Sangam Tyaktva. So all the actions you do without expecting any result from that. And how should you do that? Even when you start doing the action, at the time of just starting to do the action, we should consciously tell our mind, I am going to undertake to do this action. It may be important action also, but I am offering the entire action at the feet of the Lord. I have nothing to expect from this. So that should be the commitment, conviction a person should have. And the result is going to come from the Lord as what? As prasada. You offer the action to the Lord, result comes from him as prasada, and the result may be according to my expectation or may not be according to the expectation. I do not know. But according to the laws of karma, because Lord is karma paladata, he is fair. He is going to follow the rules of karma. And he is going to give the result according to the laws of karma. It may be suitable to me, may not be suitable to me materially. But he is always fair. So, I will get what I deserve. What I deserve, I will always get. But unfortunately, I do not know it. I do not know what I deserve. That is the problem. That is why we expect this and that. We will always get what we deserve. But we think I deserve more. What we really deserve, we don't know. That only the Lord knows. So he will dispense according to what we deserve. And therefore, O mind, listen. Listen carefully to me. Now itself be prepared to receive any eventuality that might come out of this action. Train the mind. It's a learning process to the mind. This is called supervised learning. In artificial intelligence, they call it supervised learning. So you learn, you try to make your mind learn these things, that the results can be anything. Be prepared to accept whatever. So accept that. So nirashihi, it's a very, very important condition, which can be perhaps translated as what? As the readiness to receive any result. That is nirashi. The readiness to receive any result, the preparedness. And that is the fourth condition. And the fifth condition is nirmamaha bhutva. We already saw this in a nutshell in the previous class. I'm just only summarizing that. So nirmamaha bhutva. This comes when the result comes, at the time of result. Nirashi is what? Nirashi is while doing the action. And nirmama is when? At the time of getting the result. So while doing it is nirashi, and at the time of getting the result, nirmamaha bhutva. When the palam comes, when the result of the action comes. If I claim the result as mine, so mama karmanaha palam. If you think of it that way, it is the result of my action. If you think like that, then what do? I am getting the result of my action, that is called mamaka. That's what I will be getting. Then we are bound to react. Once you say it is my result, you are bound to react to that action. You are bound to react. It can be positively or it can be negatively. Then you will be reacting to that result. But never claim it as your achievement. But say it is Ishwara Prasada. Then you won't react. It is Ishwara Prasada. You won't react. It is a gift from the Lord. Normally in Indian government they say, president is always pleased only. Whether to hire or fire a person, president is pleased. He can hire a person, he is pleased. He is also pleased to fire a person. Why? Because for him what is important? The country is important, not this individual. So by disposing of this individual, the country is going to benefit, president is pleased. So here also the Lord is always pleased. Lord is always pleased to dispense the result according to your own karma. So that's what he uses. So for the success of anything, our contribution actually is only one portion. We do not realize that many times. For the success of anything, our contribution is how much? Really minuscule portion only. Minuscule. For example, if you take a farmer. Farmer, he toils day and night, right? Since morning till evening to grow a crop. In addition to his labor, what are the other things that contribute to the success of the crop? There are so many things. The seed itself, it should be a good seed. The land should be a fertile land. And growing in the land, the rain, our capacity, the hands and legs of the farmer, they are not given. They are all there supporting you all the time. So the success is not just only the labor of the farmer alone. There are so many factors that contribute to that success. But we always think that it is only our effort that gave rise to this success. That's what normally we think, and we kid ourselves in that process. So if you really analyze the number of external factors and the number of subjective factors, we will find what? That there are so many external factors which have contributed to the success, and in fact my contribution is really insignificant. To be honest, no contribution at all almost. So every law of creation is responsible for the result that I get. Whatever result I get, everything in nature, they all have contributed to that. I have tapped it. I have tapped them, but I have not created any one of them. I cannot create rain. I have tapped it. I see that at the time when it's a monsoon season, when there is a rainy season, I see that. I tapped the resource. I cannot create rain. Therefore, I accept Ishwara, everything as Ishwara Prasada. All the results as Ishwara Prasada. Even if the result comes, the laws for getting the results also are in creation. See, not only the action, the loss of getting the results are also in creation only. I may pour water into my throat. I want to drink water. Right? I may pour water into my throat. The water has to get to my stomach, right? There is a law of gravity that takes water from here to the stomach. There is something or some other external factor that makes this water flow down to me. Do I have control on that? That is not my making. So there are so many things, even for the results of that action. Pouring the water to quench your thirst, even for a simple act like that, you have so many external factors that contribute to the success. So we accept everything as Ishwara Prasada. Ishwara Prasada, and avoid what in the process? Mamatva, mamakara will go away. The mindness will go away. Ahankara, mamakara will go away. So nirmamaha bhutva. That's what Krishna says, nirmamaha. The mamatvam should go. So this we can all call prasada buddhi. So Ishwara Arpana buddhi, here prasada buddhi. We do not call it karma palam. We call it as prasada. We do not call it karma palam anymore. We call it prasada. So if you say karma palam, what happens? It belongs to whom? Karma palam belongs to karta. Whomsoever does the action, karma palam belongs to the karta. And what will come? Mamakara will come, ahankara will come. Because it belongs to the karta. It is mine. Mindness will come. So if you say it is Ishwara Prasada, it belongs to whom? Ishwara. not to me. He belongs to Ishvara. So karma palam belongs to Karta and Ishvara prasada belongs to Ishvara. The result being same, only the attitude is different. How I view it, that alone is different. Therefore, never say karma palam, always say prasada. So nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraha. That is what this shloka says. Nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraha. So fulfilling these five conditions, you act and act and act in the world all the time. Keep on doing action. Do not be inactive. Keep on doing action. You will find that you have time only to act. You have time only to act. You have no time to react at all in life. When you have this attitude, you will have no time to react. You will keep on only acting. You will keep on only to the field of action all the time. Moment you react, problem. So first step is to control reaction. For anything that happens in life, try to minimize reaction. Because reaction leads to so many problems. Some reactions can be violent reaction, it could be verbal. It could be just body language, it could be body physical language, or it is another language you don't know. So never react. As much as possible, control reaction. So you do one action, you get the result of that action. Then what happens? You learn a lesson from it. The result of the action, you learn a lesson from the result. So there is difference between learning and reacting. So minimize reaction, try to learn all the time. There must be a response to the result, right? I should introspect myself. Should I have reacted this way? Should I have acted this way or not that way? Should I have treated the result in this way or that way? That introspection we can always go through. That will promote us. That will make us spiritually grow. So, what kind of mistake I have committed? How I can avoid it next time? These are all your own introspection. We don't want somebody else to do that. We can do it ourselves every time. No problem. So what improvement can I make next time? So learn from everything in life. For every action that you do, that is an opportunity to learn. So a karma yogi, what he does? He learns from the past. A karma yogi always learns from the past. But he does not keep to that past. He is not worrying over them. He learns from them. He doesn't worry over them and obstructing his growth. He never obstructs the present action based on the worry arising from a previous action. He always goes on doing his action. So therefore he acts, he receives the results, he learns the lessons, goes to the next action and continues. That's what a karma yogi does. So between a karmi and karma yogi, this is the difference. Learning alone takes place for him. Learning alone. There is no question of frustration, no question of anger, no question of disappointment, no question of worry for a karma yogi. So that is spiritually, or in terms of maturity, what? He is continuously growing. This person is maturity wise, he is continuously growing. Even though materially he might not grow at all. We normally assess the growth of a person by his material well-being, generally. Materially he might be even a pauper. But he might kaupinavantaha, kalu bhagyavantaha. That's what Shankaracharya says. This guy has nothing. He has got only a kaupinam. But bhagyavantaha. No worries. He can sleep peacefully. Whether it is on a footpath or in a 5-star hotel, he can be sleeping. No problem at all. How many can say, okay, I can sleep in any environment peacefully? No. He can. Kaupinavantaha, kalu bhagyavantaha. So even though materially this person may not have anything, he may have many setbacks or failures, but he has no problem at all. Yes? He knows. This is the essence of karma yoga. So Krishna summarized what karma yoga in this one shloka, giving all these five different conditions. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasyam adhyarpachetaham nirashi nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraha. That's what he said. So what are the five conditions? Viveka buddhi, discriminative ability. Then karma karanam, doing the action. And then Ishvara arpanam, offering it to the Lord. Then nirashitvam. Nirashitvam is what? Readiness to receive any result. The preparedness. I will take any result. Then there is prasada buddhi. And nirmamatvam. Prasada buddhi. So if these five points are taken care of, then what we will find? Throughout the day, we will have no time to worry at all. We will be worry free. No time to worry at all. Because in the entire karma yoga, Krishna has not included worry at all as a topic. no worry at all in the topic of karma yoga. As one of the factors he never included, there is no sixth point called worry. Krishna stopped with 5 points. No sixth point as worry here. Before doing, actually you should not have worry when? Before doing the action, during the action, and after the action also no worry. That should be the attitude. We should not, see normally people get tensed up. You want to arrange for a marriage. Marriage is a big function. You are going to invite a few hundred people. So many arrangements have to be made. All those things have to be done. But is there any, there is so much of planning involved. And after the planning, then so much of logistics involved. After the logistics, then people are all happy. Everybody is happy. The sambandhis are happy. All those things are all coming. But in any of this process, worry is not going to solve the problem. If a problem has to be addressed, address it. No point in worrying. No point in getting tensed up. Because this is how very difficult to follow. Even though it is easily said, when you are put in the situation, it is difficult to follow. But we have to train. As I told, it is a supervised learning. You have to train the mind. Whenever it starts to worry, tell yourself, take a step back, go and take a cup of water, say, don't worry. This is what I have to address. We have to tell ourselves each time. Because by your worrying, you are not only worrying yourself, you are making the people around you also tense. Every worrying man makes others also worry. So there is no point in being tense because you make everybody tensed. So Krishna wants to give some incidental points also in the following. So with this, Karma Yoga topic is over. In the third chapter, Karma Yoga topic is over in the 30th shloka. But Krishna is going to give some more incidental points which we will see. Ye me matamidam nityam.
Ye me matamidam nityam.
Anutishtanti manavaha.
Anutishtanti manavaha. Anutishtanti manavaha.
Ye me matamidam nityam. Anutishtanti manavaha.
Ye me matamidam nityam. Anutishtanti manavaha. Ye me matamidam nityam. Anutishtanti manavaha.
Shraddha vanto na suyanto.
Shraddha vanto na suyanto. Shraddha vanto na suyanto.
Muchyante te pi karma bihi.
Muchyante te pi karma bihi. Muchyante te pi karma bihi.
Shraddha vanto na suyanto. Muchyante te pi karma bihi.
Shraddha vanto na suyanto. Muchyante te pi karma bihi.
In this shloka, Krishna gives the phalam of Karma Yoga. What is the phalam? The benefit of Karma Yoga, the result. Ye manavaha me matam anutishtanti. Ye manavaha, whichever intelligent people, the people whomsoever adopts, follows my teaching, anutishtanti, my teaching, me matam. Matam means the teachings of Karma Yoga. Me matam means my teachings of Karma Yoga. Whomsoever follows, manavaha. Manavaha, those people who have this viveka buddhi, with the discriminative ability. Whomsoever follows this teaching, when? Nityam. Always. Krishna is, see, Karma Yoga is not a job done at a time. Karma Yoga is not a job done at a time, but Karma Yoga is doing any job in a particular manner, fulfilling all these 5 conditions. So all the time you fulfill these conditions. And therefore niyata. Niyata means all the time. All the time. So those people who follow Karma Yoga all the time, okay, with what attitude? Shraddhavantaha. That should be their attitude. Shraddhavantaha. With faith in the efficacy of Karma Yoga. They should have the faith in the efficacy of Karma Yoga. Because we say that material gain is unimportant here. That's what we are saying. Material gain is unimportant. Spiritual gain is important. That's what we are saying. But can people accept it easily? No. Because material gain is what is required for me to make a living. How can you say material gain is not important? So Karma Yoga says, it says the unimportance of material gain and emphasis on the importance of spiritual gain. So that efficacy, people should have faith in that first. They should have shraddha in that. So many people may have doubts. Tomorrow I may suffer if I don't have material. If there is no money in the bank, I will suffer tomorrow. Right? There is no. So I need material. Because we are very sure, though wrongly, that material gain is very, very important for our happiness. That is what we are always trained to think. That's what we are believing also all the time. So we will always hesitate to put our whole thing on spirituality. Everybody says spirituality is nice. We can have it as a weekend course, no problem. It's all very nice. No, not that I'm against spirituality. I will come, no problem at all. Because we are not sure whether we can be happy without worldly things at all or not. We are not sure about it. That is why we do not want to put 100% faith on spirituality, because we always think, without material gains, how can I be happy? That's the question. Therefore, Krishna says, how can I prove? That's the question. Krishna will have that question, right? How can I prove this? You have to see it for yourself. So, therefore, Shraddhavantaha, I can only tell you one thing, that happiness does not depend on material things at all. That alone I can tell. Krishna says, that alone I can tell. Your happiness does not depend on material things at all. That I can guarantee. It's not depend on them. If you want some proof, what I can do? I can show many rich people who are all comfortable but worrying. They are all comfortable, worrying. Many people are there. So I can give you enough number of examples of so many people who are happily living. Who are happily living. So it is clear that happiness has nothing to do with external possessions at all. The same thing I told Kopinavandaha. The person who has nothing is happy. He may be sleeping on the streets, but he is happy. This person may be living in a 10,000 square feet house, unhappy. He cannot even take one good meal because there is so much of sugar problem, that problem, this problem. He likes all these, you know, laddus and all, so much he likes. He can only see, like window shopping, he can only see them. Window shopping, right? So he can see laddus. That's all he can do. That's all he can do. So it's not depending on that. So happiness has nothing to do with external possessions at all. So this is what I can say, and you have Shraddha on that. You have faith in that. This is what I am teaching you. You have faith in that. That's what Krishna says. So spirituality alone can give me freedom. It can give me freedom. It can give me fullness. It can give me shanti. It can give me happiness. Spirituality alone can give me that. Material cannot. So material things, we don't say are not necessary. We have to be careful. We are not saying material things are not necessary. They are necessary for living, all right. But they are not necessary for happiness. Material things are necessary for living. They are not necessary for happiness. Living is different from happiness. Living is, I have to live. Right? I have been born, so I have to make a living. So I make a living. So I need a place to stay. I need clothes. I need all these things. That's fine. But my happiness doesn't depend on any of these things. I should be aware of that. So Shraddhavanta. That spirituality will give me happiness. That is the Shraddha. And it will give me peace. And Anasuyantaha. The beautiful thing. This is the guarantee is given by whom? Krishna is giving this guarantee. So you should have faith in Krishna, because he is giving the guarantee, so you should have faith in him, number one. Because if you have to have, you know, Krishna's teaching, you should have first, if you want to follow Krishna's teaching, first thing what you should have? You should have faith in Krishna. Krishna will teach me correct things only, that faith I should have. And only I can go and learn his teachings, right? Suppose some people find fault with Krishna. There are some people who might find fault with Krishna. Even though he is teaching correct things sincerely, they may find fault with the sincerity of Krishna. Some people might do it. Since Krishna, you know, he is saying all these things just for the sake of saying. So they may have doubts about his sincerity. So, and finding fault with other people is called what? Asuya. So this is Anasuyantaha. So finding fault with other people is called Asuya. Paraguneshu dosha abhishkaranam is called Asuya. So in the qualities of other people, you always find the dosha. This person always, for anybody, whatever he says, even the noblest of thing he says, he will have something to comment on it. He will say, no, I have something better. Normally people say this, right? I have always something better. He always finds dosham in somebody else, all the time, such place. So finding fault with other good people, that is called Asuya. So as long as Asuya is there, one can never accept, even if it is Krishna teaching, he cannot accept if he has this quality of Asuya. Even if it is Krishna teaching himself, they will not accept that. So Krishna puts here as a condition, Anasuyantaha, never finding fault with me. Shraddhavantaha, have faith, And also, Anasuyantaha never tried to find fault with my sincerity or with my teaching. Even if you are not convinced of a point, never say Krishna is wrong. What you should do, but try to understand more. Try to learn more, go to the experts and try to understand more. Then we will know it is only our mistake that we have not understood. It is not Krishna's mistake he taught wrong. So we should never question Krishna's teaching. Therefore, Anasuyantaha, without being critical, without trying to find fault, Anasuya, criticism also, you know, without being critical, without finding fault, and with faith, those people who practice Karma Yoga, what will happen to them? Muchyante, muchyante, they will certainly be freed. They will gain freedom. They will be liberated. They will be released. Muchyante. So if people can follow Krishna's teaching with faith, and without trying to be critical and trying to find fault with his teaching and questioning his sincerity, then they will be liberated, they will be released, they will be freed from this cycle. Okay. From what? Karma bihi. From the bonds of karma. Karma bihi means from the bonds of karma, they will be released, they will be liberated. So karma bandhanaihi muchyante ityartha. Karma bandhanaihi, from the bondage of karma. And freedom from bonds of karma, actually we can now explain it, we have already gone through this many times. Bondage of karma is what? Karma gives you what? Reaction. Any action that you do, it gives reaction. It creates tension, anxiety, all those restlessness, frustration, all those are all reaction. Whereas for a karma yogi, what happens? Karma cannot give any reaction. For a karmi, karma can give reaction. For a karma yogi, the same karma will not give any reaction. It is, for example, a person who has taken some vaccination. Even though he is amidst that disease, vaccination, what do you do normally? You still give whatever bacteria is causing that, you are injecting that person. So even amidst of them, he has been immunized against that. Person is immunized against that. So here also, even though he is in the midst of karma, being a karma yogi, he has become immune to the results of the karma. That's what this person. So karma yogi has been immunized so that karma cannot create the disease of reaction in him, disappointment in him, worry in him. He has been immunized. So once the reaction goes away, then gradually he will progress. Slowly he will progress. So in karma yoga, then he will get what? Sadhana, chatushtaya, sampatti, vivekam, vairagyam, shamadhi shakta sampatti, all those things he will gain by following karma yoga. He will get internal purity and he will get all those things also. He knows that he, after that what happens? Once he gets into this internal purity, then he can go to Jnana Marga. He can go to Jnana Yoga and try to gain self-knowledge. Try to gain Atma Jnana. And once he gains that, that person will be freed from every karma. He is freed from the very karma itself. He is freed. Because he knows that he is akarta. Once he gains jnanam, he knows he is akarta. Karma yogi still thinks he is karta. But what he does it as an offering to the Lord. Whereas a jnani, he knows he is akarta. And abhokta cha. So he is not akarta. So a karma yogi, as a karma yogi, he is freed from the reactions of karma. And as a jnani, he is freed from the karma itself. You see the differences? As a karma yogi, he is freed from the reactions of karma. And as a jnani, he is freed from the karma itself. Okay. That is what is indicated here. Karma bihi uchyante. They will become freed from karma.
Mama, you were saying about anasuyanto, that is the people who don't find fault with others. Can they find fault with themselves?
They can be critical of themselves. But you can be critical, but don't condemn yourself. You can always introspect yourself. And then you can find, okay, this I should not have done. This way, should have, no problem at all. You can, being critical of yourself is a good sign. No problem. But don't condemn yourself. You can try to grow and say, okay, next time I will not do this. I will avoid this. That's what you should. On the other hand, if you do not follow this, what will happen? Krishna gives actually a warning in the next shloka. If you do not follow this, what will happen? He gives a warning. Ye tvede edabhya suyanto.
Ye tvede edabhya suyanto.
Nanu tishtanti me matam.
Nanu tishtanti me matam. Nanu tishtanti me matam.
Yetvate dadhyasuyanto nanu tishtanti me matam.
Yetvate dadhyasuyanto nanu tishtanti me matam.
ವಿದ್ಯಿನಷ್ಟಾನಚೇತಸಃ indicates the other people. The other people, the opposite of the previous shloka. Those are the people, those who do not have faith in my teaching. So those people, the other people who do not have, there it was Shraddhavantaha, Anasuyantaha. Here it is, those people who do not have faith in my teaching, Ashraddhalavaha. So the people who do not have faith in me. And Abhyasuyantaha, those who find fault with my teaching. There it is Anasuyantaha, here it is Abhyasuyantaha, opposite. So, who do not have faith in my teaching, who find fault with my teaching, but the very purpose of the study is to find fault. They want to come to class to find fault only. Where Krishna has gone wrong. Right. So, it is like the atheists, you know, they always look for that. Atheists always look for Purana, that story and story, and they, oh, this is this wrong, this is abaddham, all that they say, because their interest is only to find fault. They miss the actual intent of a particular thing, the context, they will always interpret this in the wrong context. So that's how they try to interpret. So those who are not faithful and those who are very critical, na anutishtanti, those who do not follow the teaching, me matam, my teaching of Karma Yoga, the topic is Karma Yoga here. What type of people are they? Sarvajnana vimudantan. Sarvajnana vimudantan. Those people are vimuda. Vimudaha. They are totally deluded people. Totally deluded people, utterly confused people. Such people are utterly confused. With respect to what? Sarvajnana. With respect to all the spiritual teaching, they are confused. These are all confused people always. They are always confused. If you do not know, no problem. Ignorance is bliss. This is the half-baked is a problem. The half-baked only always try to interpret in its own way and all that thing. Their ego will not let them go and learn from somebody. And they won't know also. So they will always imagine and interpret in their own human fancy. So these are all such people. So sarvajnana vimudamstam. So with respect to all scriptural teaching, they have no knowledge at all. So all the scriptural teaching means what? In the first bhaga of the Vedas, we have got this dharma and adharma viveka. We already told earlier, the Vedic scriptures can be divided into two parts. The first part is the purva bhaga, refers to all karmas, karma yoga. The entire thing refers to all karmas. And there, dharma, adharma, what is the actual thing to be done, what should not be done, all those things are all given in that section. So these people are mudas, they are deluded with respect to the dharma, adharma, viveka also, they do not know. And the later portion gives what? The jnana marga. And what is the topic there? Atma, anatma, viveka. So dharma, adharma, viveka is the purva bhaga, the first portion of the Veda, scriptures. And the second portion of the scriptures is jnana marga, which deals with atma, anatma, viveka. What is atma? What is anatma? What is the consciousness? What is this body? All those things, that differentiation, that discriminative ability. So this person doesn't know either dharma, adharma, viveka and atma, anatma, viveka is very far away for him. Even this he doesn't know. Therefore he says, sarvajnana vimudantham. Those people are confused regarding all scriptural teaching. They are totally confused. And not only that, they are achetasaha, indiscriminate, unintelligent people. These are all unintelligent people. So buddhihinaha, the buddhi is not there, blunted. So such people. Because what Krishna teaches is what? It's a logical study. It is understandable. The only thing is what? One should listen to it carefully and sincerely. You cannot be half-baked. One should be listening to it carefully and sincerely. Then they can understand the value of this teaching. Otherwise, they will be only making all short-term conclusions, trying to misinterpret things only. It is not an extraordinary thing at all. But unfortunately, they have no time to use the buddhi because that buddhi is extrovert. Their buddhi is always extrovert. It is never introvert to analyze. because they are all mudas. They are all confused people. That these are always extra. So, yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadantyat pashtitaha vedavadrasha partham nanyadastivi vadinaha. These are all people. There is, they make all these arguments. We have already seen this earlier. Right? So, kamatmanaha. These are all people who are always driven by desires and this kind of thing. They are always extrovert. They use their buddhi not to introspect themselves. It is only as for external application. So they are not able to understand my teaching. May madam, they are not able to understand. So achetasaha, those unintelligent people. And what is the palam they get? What is the palam para karmi? For a person who does only action, what is the palam para him? The previous sloka talked about karma yogi. Talking about karma yogi, what is the palam of a karmi? Palam, he says, nashtan viddi. That is the palam, that is the result they get. These karmis, the people who do only action, not as a karma yogi, they get only what? Nashtan viddi. Arjuna, you understand, they are lost in the life. They perish. They are lost in life. Their life becomes miserable. That life becomes a wretched life. For such people, life becomes a miserable life, a wretched life. Lost means it's not mean physical loss. They are not lost physically. They are still there. 6 feet 2 inches is still there. 200 pounds is there. No problem at all. But they will continue to be physically alive. But their mind cannot attain what can be attained in a human janma. Human janma alone can enable a person to gain jnana, atma jnana. And these people can never gain that at all. So, purushartha ayogya, they don't have the yogya, the ability, the whatever qualification is needed to gain those purushartas, they don't have. So, purushartham ayogya bhavanti, they become unfit for any purushartha, such people. And this is also understandable, because when karma yoga is not there, when karma is done, what happens? Reaction is bound to be there. When you are doing an action without karma yoga, attitude of karma yoga, then there will be definitely reaction. So I start a small work, I expect all the big things out of the small work, right, to happen for this thing. So in this I expect them to happen in this particular manner also. These are all my expectations for the result. And when it does not happen, I get angry, I get frustrated. So all those things come naturally. At the same time, I am not able to drop the karma also because I want the result. Because I am attached to the result, I cannot stop the karma. So karma doesn't give the result I want. I get frustrated. So all these things happen. So I get involved more and more and more and do more karma, expecting such results. And each of my karma gives rise to so many problems, so much of reaction, so many problems. So problems mount up. But what happened? Still my desires have not come down. Problems only have mounted up so much. My desire has not come down. So one side is full of desire, another side full of failure, the mind gets completely crumbled. Right? That's what happens to a person. One side full of desires has mounted so much. Other side is only failures all the time. He cannot deal with them. The person gets crumbled, and I find it very, very difficult to have a peaceful mind at all. I cannot have a peaceful mind. So even though I am not in karma, I am not able to sleep. Even at the time when I am going to bed in the night, I cannot sleep. Even though I am not doing any karma at that time, I cannot sleep. And naturally, I look for what? Various diversions. And that is why they take to all vices. For taking to sleep, they need some sleeping pill first and something else next. So it goes on going. And they unnecessarily condemn their life to such a loss. They want to escape. They want to escape. They can get out of office, but they cannot get out of their mind. They can go out of the office physically. Mind haunts them. They cannot get out of it all the time. So everywhere, doggedly, the problem comes and they take them out. That's what happens. So when they depend on drinks, when they depend on smoking or other things, mind becomes even weaker. When they take to all these alternatives, mind become even weaker, then their capacity to solve problems almost it gets lost. They cannot solve any more problem at all. Mind is so weak, they cannot solve any problem. So more agitation comes to them. More agitation, so more drink, it's a vicious circle. They go on getting into rot even more and more. And at last, but they find themselves in a situation where nothing can be done. The doctors also will say, it's a hopeless case.
what you can. It's a hopeless case. You can do nothing with that. It is very, very difficult, extremely difficult to bring them back to normal life. So Krishna says, Nashtan Vidhi. Arjuna, understand, they have lost one human birth, is lost. This one human birth is given to us, make use of it. It is lost now. So, okay, I can take care of it in the next birth. Who knows when the next birth is going to come? Next human birth, when it will come, who knows? It all depends on what portion of the Sanchita Karma is going to fructify next. It may fructify to get a plant life or an animal life. It can be a life of a dog, who knows? Nobody knows. So because to exhaust prarabdha, people have to take different lives. So we don't know what will be the next life. So now you have a guaranteed human life. Make use of it, Arjuna. Do not. So it becomes nashtan for those people. So they have had to wait for the next human birth, which they don't know when it will come. Sadrisham seshteshtate swasyaha.
Sadrisham seshtate swasyaha. Sadrisham cheshtate swasya.
Prakrite jnana vanapim.
Prakrite jnana vanapim. Prakrite jnana vanapim.
Sadrisham cheshtate swasya. Prakrite jnana vanapim.
Sadrisham cheshtate swasya. Prakrite jnana vanapim. Sadrisham cheshtate swasya. Prakrite jnana vanapim.
Prakritim yanti bhutani.
Prakritim yanti bhutani. Prakritim yanti bhutani.
Nigrahakam karishyati.
Nigrahakam karishyati. Nigrahakam karishyati.
Prakritim yanti bhutani. Nigrahakam karishyati.
Prakritim yanti bhutani. Nigrahakam karishyati. Prakritim yanti bhutani.
The question is, why do people not follow Karma Yoga, even though Karma Yoga is so wonderful? Right? Karma Yoga is wonderful, we have got all the nice things heard about Karma Yoga. Why people are not following that? And why would they lead an unhappy life? Why should they not follow Karma Yoga and lead a happy life and gain moksha? So God has given the scriptures, God has given the buddhi also to people, He has given all these things. When everything nice is available, why is it that people do not follow to resort to Karma Yoga? Why there is evil in the world? Right? We always ask this question. Why there is evil in the world? It's a very, very big philosophical question. For that, Krishna is now analyzing in the next shloka. This is the 33rd shloka, 33. He is now trying to analyze it. So, this idea he has indicated earlier, a person's life can be governed by essentially two factors. Right? We already saw this earlier. Two factors. One factor is what? One factor is called the prakriti. One person is called swabhava. One's own swabhava. Whatever his own nature. Means his own personality. The swabhava. Everyone has got a natural personality. Right? When I am born, I have some natural personality. So we call it individuality if you want. I am different from all others. Even though I am born with three brothers and two sisters, all that thing, each one is different. Each one, even though they are all found born in the same family, each one is an individual. Each one is individually different from the others. So this is swabhava. A person is born. So same family, there are differences between every individual in the same family. All are brought up, even though they are all brought up in the same way by the parents. Each one is not same. Each one is different. So in the same family, there could be a sadhu and there can be a criminal also. All these things happen in life. We see that. Prahlada was born in what? In an asura family. Everybody is asura. There is a Prahlada there. Right? In the same Asura family is born. Ravana was born what? In a Brahmana family, Arjuna, direct lineage of Brahmaji. He is Ravana and you know he was such a Rakshasa. So all those things are happening. So we are talking about that Prakriti. Prakriti which is present in the birth itself. It is a birth quality. It is my Swabhava. Right from birth it's like that. So that is Prakriti. That is instinctive. That is natural to everybody. Every individual. And how this prakriti, this nature comes to a person? Why there are different people having different character? That's swabhava. Why there should be different? Different personality, different behaviors. Why they should be different like that? As far as science is concerned, it cannot say much about it. It can say maybe a few things here and there, but it cannot conclusively say this is what it is due to. It will say some genetic things. Maybe it can, may I don't know. They may write some equations related to genetics. Not anything more than that. But according to Shastra, Prakriti is beautifully defined by Shankaracharya in his Bhashya, in his commentary. What he says, Purvakritam dharma dharma samskaraha vartamana janmani abhivyaktaha. That's what he calls it. Purvakritam dharma dharma samskaraha vartamana janmani abhivyaktaha. So what is Prakriti? Purvakritam dharma adharma samskaraha. Dharma adharma samskara. They are all the impressions, vasanas, which has been gathered in the previous janma by following dharmic activities, adharmic activities. These are all vasanas gained in the previous janmas, gained in them. So this dharma and adharma vasana acquired in the previous births, which becomes abhivyaktaha, vartamana janmani, in the present janma, they manifest. So whatever has been done earlier, they manifest, those vasanas, they manifest in this janma. At each age, certain portions of the samskara, they will manifest. First year, certain samskaras. Second year, some samskaras. Fifth year, some samskaras. Youth, they go on manifest at different times. This is called prakriti. This is what Shankaracharya defines. So, and every samskara invokes every situation, invokes a certain samskara in you. For example, if the child has got music samskara, child may have music samskara. So even when the child is only 3 to 4 years, whenever there is music, the child will be naturally drawn towards that music. This is all we see. So a child may be only 3 to 4, what that child knows. He doesn't know anything about ragas and all. But that child will be naturally drawn towards music even at that small age. I know a child who can identify several ragas when he was 3 and 4. Ragas he can identify. For the other child, music may come if taught. For this child, naturally it comes. Because samskara is like that. For another child, if you teach, it might come. For some other child, you can be teaching forever. Only neighbors will get frustrated. It never comes. It never comes to this child at all. Music never comes. What to do? Because that child doesn't have the music samskara. Right? So your response to every situation depends on the very personality. The prakriti, the swabhava. So this is one factor. So this one factor, it decides or it governs, it directs one's lifestyle. This is one, prakriti. And the second factor Krishna will talk about is shastram. Shastram is the second factor. Shastram, we can, the wisdom part of it, the culture part of it. Is he a cultured person? Is he a dharmic person? Cultured person. So we will call this factor as the shastram factor. So one is prakriti factor, bond, and inborn in a person. Another is shastram factor, acquired. He can learn things, he can be in the company of good people, in every aspect of life he can learn. So the one whose life is governed by prakriti, he will be doing only karma. A person whose life is governed only by prakriti, he will do only karma. And the one whose life is governed by shastram, he will take to dharma. He will not do karma according to his whims and fancy. He will do karma in a dharmic way. What is to be done and what should not be done. So he becomes a samskrita purushaha. Whereas the other person is a prakrita purushaha. He is driven by his nature. He is driven, he is like a wild person. It is like a wild person and a tamed, wild animal and a tamed animal. A wild animal is a wild animal. We cannot control it. Whereas it's a tamed animal, it has gone through the rigor of discipline. So the dharmic discipline, this has gone through. So when he goes by shastram, we call that person a dvijaha. Dvijaha means a person who is twice born. So first birth is for janmana jayate shudraha. By birth, everybody is born as a shudra. Shudra is a prakrita purushaha. A person who doesn't know what is right and wrong, he just does things according to his own whims and fancy. Everybody is born as a shudra only. But nature allows you to be in that way up to some point in time, like 6-7 years of age. Up to that time, you know, you may not know too many things, all these things in life. So up to some point, you can be like that. The child may know whatever it wants, you know, it may want to eat whatever it wants to eat, it may do anything. Nobody says anything. But after 7-8 years of age, then the Shastra say, you cannot remain like that anymore. You have to become a refined individual. You have a society, you live amidst other people, you have got some responsibilities, so you should do your karma according to the injunctions of dharma. So that second birth, from the Prakriti Purushaka stage where you are born to physical parents, the second birth is born to spiritual parents, that is called Dvijaha. The spiritual parents are the guru who teaches you and Gayatri Mata. So the Upanayana Samskara symbolically signifies the second birth. This is true for all the three Varnas, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas. All three have Dvijanma. They are all twice born. They are all having the Upanayana Samskara. So then that will dictate how one should conduct their life in this society. What should be done, what should not be done, what is right, what is not right. These are all taught by Shastra. So they will learn to live a Shastraic way of life, not a natural way of life. So that is the second factor, the Shastram factor. So from a wild animal, you know, it does anything it wants, but a domestic animal, it is trained. It will do only certain things, not all the things. So similarly, human beings also, they can be wild or they can be domesticated or they can be made cultured. We call them cultured people, refined people, Samskrita Purushaka. So a cultured person is trained by what? By Shastra. Shastram defines them, while the wild person is instigated by Prakriti. So now you understood Prakriti and Shastra. So we can govern our life by either of them. That is our choice. Till 80, do I want to be only Prakriti Purushaka? Whether I want to become a Samskrita Purushaka, whose choice it is? My choice. I can live my own way. Who is asking anything? Maybe if you behave so much, they will put you in jail. That's all they might do, but still the person can be like that. So the question will come now. What will be the question which we would like to ask now? If you know what is, because of these two factors, which is the stronger factor? That is the question. The Swabhava is stronger or Shastra is stronger? Swabhava, one's own innate quality, that is stronger, or because a person has to conduct the life. So if that is stronger, what is the path that person will lead into? That is the question. Which is stronger? So the ultimate answer is what? The ultimate answer, if we want to say that, the stronger one is Shastram alone is stronger. Between these two, Shastram alone is stronger. We can conquer, we can master Prakriti by Shastram. One can master, one can defeat the Swabhava, the Prakriti, Prakriti Swabhava, by learning Shastram. How do we know if we ask? If Shastram cannot change Prakriti, Krishna would not have wasted so much of time in 18 chapters. Right? If Krishna is teaching Bhagavad Gita, Shastram, Gita Shastram, he is not going to waste his time if Shastram cannot win over Prakriti. So it can be, Shastram is always powerful. Right? So for example, if by taking a medicine, if a disease is not going to be cured, why take the medicine at all? Right? There is no need to take medicine. So you take the medicine only if you find the cure, or at least some improvement should be there. Otherwise, you won't take that medicine. Similarly, if Shastram cannot change the personality, cannot change the character or the vasana, whatever we call it, swabhava of a person, then the whole Shastram will become futile if it is not changing that. So not only the Shastram will become futile, the teacher of the Shastram also will be futile. And if the teacher is teaching that Shastram, he will also, so Krishna also will be futile. Right? No use. So Krishna wasted 18 chapters and so much of time in the middle of a battle, all for waste. Right? That's what will happen. So it will not change a person. So if that is the case, will Krishna teach it? Krishna is Bhagavan himself. So Narayanena Swayam, the Narayana himself taught this Bhagavad Gita. So he is not going to waste his time. Therefore, basically we should understand that Shastram can change the natural instinct of a person. So the Prakriti of a person can be changed by Shastra. That's what we should understand. But one thing we accept, it is a very, very tough task. If the natural instincts are so strong, to change that is very tough. But this, the Shastram can do it. It's a difficult job. So there are a lot of difficult things. Can you go walk from here to California? We can. You can walk to California. Why you cannot? You can. In principle, yes. But it's a difficult task. It may take forever, but you can walk, right? So here, mastery of Prakriti is not impossible, but is difficult. So that is, you know, normally why I am giving this argument is, normally people say everything is like my destiny, my fate, my talavidi, right? People normally say that. So I am leading this life, what to do this? No, you can always change it. There is always avenue to change it. How you can change it? By Shastram, by putting lot of breaks in you. It is a tough job, it is a real uphill to mount, but you can always do it. Even there is nothing like talavidi that you, well, then your person will be condemned forever. No. Shastram never allows a person to be condemned forever. You can always elevate yourself, but it's a tough task. You can always do that. So, in the Shloka 33, Krishna talks about the supremacy of Prakriti. How difficult it is for somebody to conquer over Prakriti. Krishna is talking about the strength of Prakriti in this Shloka. That is almost inconquerable. It is almost unchangeable. Prakriti Subhava is almost unchangeable. Then he says, when you listen to this shloka, what we say normally, one will always come to the conclusion that Shastram is a waste. Because Prakriti is so strong, it is almost impossible to change it. Why waste time on the Shastram? Just to take life as it comes. Nothing can be done about it. That will be the normal reaction of most people. So Krishna knows about that also. He says, do not conclude that. That is why the answer was given. In the beginning itself, we said, Shastram is powerful, it can change. And we said that. That is the reason why I said that. Shastram is powerful, it can change. Even though Prakriti appears powerful, it can always be controlled. It can be always be won over. So, when you read this shloka, normally it appears that Prakriti is alone supreme. Shastram cannot do anything. But, you know, it is the actual understanding is different. So, put in the most controversial language, fate alone is powerful. That's what this shloka says. Fate alone is powerful. Free will is helpless. That's what this shloka says. But Krishna is going to give an answer differently later. So, it looks as though Krishna is teaching that in this shloka. But in the next shloka, he will clarify that. So, now let us look at this shloka. Svasyaha prakrite sadrisham cheshtate. Everyone acts in the world. Cheshtate means, you know, they pravartate. They are all acting. They are all doing so many things. Every being, not only human being, but every being in creation, animals, plants, everything, they act according to one's own prakriti, one's own nature, one's own character. That's what it says. Everybody acts according to one's own nature. Yeah, tiger is naturally ferocious. It's its nature. You cannot say, oh, tiger, be peaceful. Tiger is naturally ferocious. It will be ferocious only. Right? And a cow is naturally docile. You cannot have a ferocious cow. Sometimes it may go amok, it's fine, but naturally it is a docile animal. So every being has got a natural trait, the natural swabhava, and every being acts according to that natural trait. Every being does that. And Krishna now puts a bombshell here, jnanavanati, that is the most important thing. When he says everybody has something, it's fine, but he says jnanavanati, even if he is a jnanavan, even if he is an intelligent person, even if he is a discriminatory person, even a jnanavan also should act according to his prakriti only. That's what this says. Even if he is a jnanavan, an intelligent person, he will also act according to his prakriti only, which looks like as if he does not have also any choice, right? He is a jnanavan. Jnanavan should have a choice. But even he doesn't seem to have any choice the way Krishna puts it. So it looks like faith alone dictates. That's what, because even for a jnanavan there is no choice, means what? The faith alone dictates, or the nature alone dictates the type of action. And Krishna says, prakritim yanti bhutani. Bhutani means all beings. All beings go according to prakriti. Prakritim yanti. The very prakriti alone, or nature alone, or character alone, so they all act according to that. And he makes a very, very general statement here. Sarvani bhutani prakritim yanti. Every being, they go according to prakriti. Then why I cannot stop that prakriti, if you ask? Krishna says, nigraha kim karishyati. Who can control prakriti? He is saying, prakriti is so strong. Who can control prakriti? Krishna challenges himself. Who can control prakriti? That means prakriti cannot be controlled at all. That's what it means. Who can control prakriti? Krishna asks. That means prakriti cannot be controlled. Nigraha kim karishyati? Kinchitapi na karishyati. So, Kepartha, That's the negation. The negation to Arjuna. Nobody can stop Prakriti. So Nigraha is not going to be useful. Prakriti will force a person to act according to its power alone. You cannot control it. It will force the person to act. So Sarvaha Prakriti Jaihi Gunaihi. We have already seen this here. Everybody act according to their gunas only. Gunas we said prakriti earlier. So they act according to the prakriti only. So this swabhava also is called the guna. Gunas the earlier we call the gunas. So sattvic, rajasic and tamasic, that itself is all prakriti. Actually we did not use these because we have not elaborately discussed them yet. We are going to do that later in some other opportunity. We are going to do that. But swabhava also can be sattvic guna or tamasic guna or rajasic guna. One swabhava can be any other nature. So prakriti, swabhava, vasana, samskara, nature, all are synonymous. All these words, whenever I use them, they can be all considered synonymous. So when we listen to this, normally what we think, we will be utterly disappointed. Because we think prakriti is strong, I cannot do anything. Even Krishna is asking the question, Kim Karishyati, he is asking, who can control Prakriti, even Krishna is asking. So, fatalists, all the people who go through the fate argument, everything is according to fate, nothing and I can do nothing about it, they are all very happy. Even Krishna has acknowledged this. Krishna has also told, everything is according to fate only, I can do nothing about it, so let me be quiet, whatever is there, let it happen. So, let things happen in its own way. Things take its own course. So Krishna, because Krishna also seems to say that we are all helpless people against Prakriti. That's what he says in this shloka, right? So we are dragged, we are pushed, we are pulled. All those things are happening in life because Prakriti pushes it on us. Our fate, everything is talayirthi, everything is lalata likitam, whatever is written here. I am leading my life, everything written here. Nothing can be changed. So that is what we all will come to the conclusion by reading this shloka. So, this seems to be the philosophy of majority of people. Majority of people, they are all present to this fact only. Everything is dalata likitam, I can do nothing about it. Even the very, very educated people. These are all people who are intelligent people, who may be that professional, this professional. Even those people believe, I can do nothing about it, because that is the helpless notion of everyone. We are only puppets. We are only puppets in the hand of fate, in the hand of destiny. That's what everybody thinks, and they think that my free will can do nothing about it. So, we do not have any free will at all. The free will has no role to play. That is the conclusion most people come to by reading this shloka. Generally, they have this conclusion also. And Krishna acknowledges the fact that Prakriti is really strong. Okay, that's what. So, in the next shloka, then Krishna wants to remove that idea and wants to establish that a person does have a free will. That can take control. And that can change your fate. That can make you the driver. So he is trying to acknowledge that and bring that fact out in the next shloka, which means that a person can study Shastra. You cannot just do that, but to study Shastra and can gain wisdom. By gaining wisdom, he can get his intellect sharper, can be sharper intellect and govern one's life according to the Shastra or Dharma. One does not have to resign everything to the fact, resign to the fact that everything is fate, but you can change it by learning Shastras and doing things according to Dharma. It is a very, very difficult task, but one can do it, and that is what is going to be said in the next shloka, which we will see in the next class. Yo Veda Dau Swara Prabhu Vedante Pratishtitah Tasya Prabhu.